My name is Val Amsden, and I'm your host of This Side of the Grass. Throughout my experience with the death of very close loved ones, I learned that not many people are prepared for the inevitable. Someday we will all die. On this podcast, I hope to normalize these conversations about dying, not only so we can be prepared, but more importantly, so that we can truly live every single day with purpose and intention that we are blessed to be here on this side of the grass. Welcome to This Side of the Grass, episode one, to be named later, and that is on purpose. But my temptation is to call this episode my why, because if you've listened to my intro, you know that I have a story, you know that there's loss, and as human beings, everybody has a story, and I think that that's the tough thing as we go about our day-to-day lives is we don't know what other people are going through. And my hope in having these conversations is that we start to pay attention more to not only other people's stories, but our own, and acknowledge and accept and really celebrate what our stories are. So my why for this podcast started, if I'm thinking back to the realization of loss, was when I was about 25 and my mom was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. So as a young adult, 25, okay, yeah, I'm an adult, but I really maybe don't feel like one yet. And my mother received a diagnosis of ovarian cancer while my younger brother and I were actually out of the country. I was working for the school that he attended and we were in India. So when we got home from India, we just were interested in seeing everyone and telling them about our trip. And in hindsight, I remember that the conversation after mom and dad picked us up from the airport, we went out to eat at Perkins. I had to have a bread bowl salad, which was still a thing at the time. It was just more demure than normal. And nothing was actually said until a few days later, when my mom called and said, I had hoped to tell you this in person, and I'm sorry it didn't present itself, but this is what's going on. So throughout her cancer journey, which ended up being 4+ years, during that period of time, I started dating someone, we got engaged, we got married, and we had our first baby. So when my mom passed away, I was a young mother with a 6-month-old. So the loss of my mom, both leading up to her actual passing, and that 4-year journey as I steeled myself against what I knew was going to happen but didn't truly understand, shaped who I became as a person, as a mother, as an employee, because there was another dynamic, and that was that I came back to work for my family's business when she received her diagnosis and started working very closely with my dad, my older brother, and my mom. My younger brother was still in school. So my nuclear family, for lack of a better term, my growing up family, which had always been very close, continued to stay close during the time that she was going through treatments and did pass away. So what I remember as a young mother, especially leading up to the delivery, being in the hospital with my oldest, I wanted to make sure that I could do it by myself, with just my husband and me, without my mom there, because I didn't know how long she'd be around and I didn't want to not be able to have her there if I'd already imagined it or had it with my first child. So the crazy thing about having my son when my mom was still alive, it was very, very not strange, because I don't think anything happens circumstantially. I think there's a reason, and there's whether you call it karma or the universe, things always seem to come back together. And we were supposed to have our baby close to our house, called in as I was going into labor, and they were overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed with too many people having babies and sent us to a different hospital. And that was the hospital where my mom passed away 6 months later. So every time we would go to visit my mom in the hospital with my young son, I would remember the beautiful part of having him as I was watching her die. And there weren't a lot of conversations around death or dying specifically, but I do remember her telling us, my mom at the end, talking to my older brother, talking to me, talking to my younger brother, and saying, hey, it's not immediate, but it's imminent that I'm going to die, and I have made peace with it, and I want to have conversations with you before it's too late. And we were able to have those conversations. Another gift she gave us was planning her planning her service and writing her own obituary. So, I mean, who does that? Well, hopefully you guys, if we get far enough down these episodes and talk through some of those things. But looking back on it, it was such a gift because I didn't realize what was to come after she passed away in those waves of overwhelm and grief. And so the gifts that she gave us by planning ahead, having conversations, really shaped who I became, shaped a lot of the decisions that I made, and shaped who I became as a parent. And we're going on, gosh, almost 14 years since she's been gone. But much of my experience as an adult really was shaped by that loss. And it's been hard for me, even watching some of my friends, my girlfriends who, as young mothers, had their own moms around to ask questions of, to babysit, to go shopping with, all of those things that you just want to do with your mom that I didn't have that chance. Fast forward to a little over a year ago, and I was still working in my family's business, and my brother and I had bought out our dad. He still was working there every day, so we talked actually very often, my brother and my older brother, about how incredible it was that we still, as adult children, got to see our dad every day, and we reminded him of this often. So I think he appreciated it too. And as things progressed, especially during COVID and some of the challenges that we had, ultimately we decided that the best thing moving forward was to sell our family business, which we did in the summer of 2022. And at that time, my brother Dan was going through his marriage ending. So we were selling our company, and his marriage was ending, and there was just a lot of stress and a lot of things going on. And a few months later was one of the biggest turning points in my adult life, the others being the births of my own children and losing my mom, when we got a call that Dan had been rushed to the hospital because he thought he was having a heart attack. And that was the Saturday after Thanksgiving in 2022. So looking back on what had happened, he thought he was having a heart attack, was able to call 911, and he had a dissection in his aorta and started losing blood flow beneath his diaphragm. And they were able to get him to the hospital and stabilize him. I met my dad there, and they told us that it was very serious. They were going to stabilize him and send him to a different hospital for emergency surgery, which they did. He made it on the ambulance ride. He made it into surgery. And 7 hours later, The surgeons came out and told us that he had not made it through surgery. So he was 44. And that was a completely different experience to losing my mom after 4 years of her fighting cancer. She died at 57. Dan died at 44. And those two losses, not close together from a timing standpoint, but having grown up in this family of five people, being in my early 40s and being down to three of us, was very overwhelming, shocking, awful. I mean, so many things, so many feelings. And as we went through the days, the hours, the days, the weeks right after he passed away, there were so many aha moments for me as I had these realizations that we do not talk about dying. We don't talk about death. We don't see the gift that it is when we are on this side of the grass to have these conversations. So many aha moments of, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that this is something that I have to deal with. This is ridiculous. All the way to, well, pretty amazing that he had a will set up and he had a trust set up and he had updated it after everything that had changed over the summer, to the point where I'm handling his estate and his trust, and it's so confusing and so overwhelming. And if you don't do this all the time, if you're not an attorney, if you're not an accountant, if you don't work for a funeral home, how do you navigate such complicated things while dealing with such overwhelming shock and grief? I found myself saying multiple times to people, why are we doing this to ourselves? Why do we as a society decide that we are going to put together the equivalent of a wedding, which would be the funeral? You're planning this event for hundreds and hundreds of people, and everybody has an opinion and everybody wants to help. Yet when you need the help, nobody's there. So as all of these realizations hit me over the last 12 to 13 to 14 months, as we've gone through as a family, and I have three children now, and watching them go through the grief and the shock and the overwhelm, there are so many things that we don't talk about. And I want to normalize some of these conversations, things that are confusing, things that are sad, things that are morbid, things that are expensive because you don't know enough. So maybe you have to hire an expert like an accountant or an attorney to help you walk through what you don't know. It's so much easier not to do those things. It's so much easier not to have those conversations, but they are so important. The other thing that's just such a crazy realization, as you balance out, you only have today, but hey, might have 50 more years. So you can't just throw away everything you have and spend all your money and move away. I mean, maybe you can. You can definitely do that if you want to. But if you're going to be around for 50 more years, that's not the smart decision. But how do you get off that hamster wheel? How do you get kicked off center just enough to be able to have those conversations? So that is my why. These conversations about death, conversations about dying, but it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. It goes to conversations about life, because part of life is dying, whether we want to talk about it or not. Hey, guess what? None of us get out of this alive. Absolutely none of us. So do you want to leave a gift to those left behind if you're the first to go? Or do you want to understand what your loved ones want in case they go first and you're the one left behind? I think the answer should be yes, yes, absolutely. I want to know, because what a gift to have these conversations. That is my why. And I hope you go along with me on this journey. And not everything is going to be relevant, but maybe someday, unfortunately, it will. My hope is that you listen with an open mind and an open heart and share these episodes. And as we get deeper, man, I don't know where this could go, but I'm excited. I'm excited to have these conversations with you. I'm excited to see where this goes for me. Thank you for joining me. This is This Side of the Grass. Have a great rest of your day. You still have a life. It was one you didn't prepare for and you didn't want. But this road is still worth traveling. Your story is still in the making, waiting for you to find it. By David Kessler from the book Finding Meaning.
This Side of the Grass is a Divine Fox production. All thoughts and information shared on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as legal, financial, psychological, or any other professional advice.
I'm so excited to partner with Fountain Hill Winery. Guests of This Side of the Grass will receive wine from our friends at Fountain Hill in Delano, Minnesota. Many of you listening are from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, but even if you're not, if you're looking for a family-friendly getaway that's both relaxing and delicious, look no further than Fountain Hill Winery, nestled in the heart of Delano, Minnesota. Sip on handcrafted wines while savoring authentic Neapolitan pizzas made fresh to order. At Fountain Hill, the fun never stops. With events happening all year round, there's something for everyone to enjoy. From live music to seasonal festivities, their calendar is packed with excitement. Visit fhwandvineyard.com, that's fhwandvineyard.com, to stay up to date with upcoming events. Come for the wine, stay for the fun. Fountain Hill Winery, where memories are made and laughter is shared.